I'd like to thank you all for being here today, and God's blessings upon each and every one of you, and welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing and a privilege to stand before you in the name of Christ. And every once in a while, and very often I should say, that the magnitude of the calling of Christ falls upon you. And you're able to appreciate. And then you can also feel the weight of that calling into the ministry. And you feel maybe a burden. Then the spirit of love also is there. And it is a loving burden. And a loving quest in the name of Jesus Christ in order to proclaim His gospel. And His privilege. And I believe the Lord works upon us and touches us with that very testimony in the name of Jesus. Because it is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God. We're talking this morning about that time when Christ shall come. And we find there are going to be many things that are going to transpire. And we look at maybe a sequence of events, and there is the parable of the tares, where there is a difference between good and bad people, and tares, of course, being the bad ones that are going to be taken out, and the good ones are going to be saved. And it's just like the parable that where they said there was a net that was drawn to shore, and there were fish of all kinds, and there were some that they were sorted out, the good and the bad. It says there's many called, few chosen. You may take, and there are those, I know there are fishermen amongst us, and there are those that are of the legal limit. There are those that you can't take with you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is to bring us to His legal limit through our belief, our acceptance of His gospel, through the knowledge of His loving grace, through the shedding of His blood, because we may live by faith. And faith without works is dead, but it cannot be done without the blood of Christ and through His unchanging grace. We cannot hope to be enough. But we live in the name of Jesus Christ. And because we live in the name of Jesus Christ, and because we love Him, that we would want to do the things pleasing in His sight. I had a direction that I wanted to go this morning. But as we were singing, another passage of Scripture come to mind that I'd like to read this morning. It's very precious. I was thinking, since we were singing our hymn this morning, our first hymn in our Sunday school, that I would like to read a verse or two from it. It is hymn 115. Sorry, 103. There is no, with our new hymn board, there is no mistaking. And that's a blessing. And it states, 'tis a glorious thing to be in the light and in the light with the saints of old to see the true light of God. And the Scripture talks about in the book of Isaiah, it says, seek ye out the old paths, wherein dwelt righteousness. Seek ye out the old paths. And I'm going to tell you what, and we have a variety of ages here today, from the youngest of us to the more seasoned, because as we get better with age. Remember that. I come to appreciate that more and more all the time, I think. So seek ye out the old paths. And I'm going to tell you what. They talk about generations. And there's always been generations throughout time. And it seems to be more, I think, prevalent only in the mind of people today about generations. Because they say, well, my generation doesn't understand yours. Your generation doesn't understand mine. And within 5 years, within 5 to 10 years, you know, that the clothes change, you know, colors for people's houses change, people's likes and dislikes, and what they do for entertainment changes within a couple of years. And you're blown away with how things change in that life. But I'm going to tell you what, just like that scripture bears out, seek ye out the old paths, because God does not change. And that's what you need to rely on. Man will change. And you know that. And that's a very simple fact. And just like the so-called modern sciences today, there is true science, good science, which could be taken into the laboratory. It can be repeated. It could be tested. It can be shown. Okay? It's a process. But there's that that's based upon theory, we don't need to go into, but is also projected and put into textbooks today. And when we were kids, and things that maybe that we were taught when we were kids, they've shown today were false. But science says, well, you got to trust science. So trust the theories of science. It's the best guess scenario. And so they may say, well, based upon the theories of tomorrow may disprove the things that you were taught in the past. So we can't rely upon the so-called intellect of man. Now can we? We need to depend upon God, because God does not change. And God responds to you when you approach Him on His terms. In His ways. That's by humbling ourselves before Him in the name of Jesus. By humbling ourselves before Him, realizing what His gospel is and what it means and the impact of it and His saving ability through His grace, through His mercy, His patience and His long-suffering with us. Because if it were upon our own merits, we don't deserve it. Unmerited grace. And so, His ways are beyond annoying, but yet precious. And the mysteries of God, we may find to be simple. They are simple, but why they are hid is because they are simple. And why is it hard to understand? Because people may not want to understand them. And they're given to us under the simplicity of His Spirit. Because you want to know them. And God's willing to share them with you. And I wanted to take a look, if you will, into the Book of Mormon. And this is the record of those people that existed upon this continent, not the record of men, but the record of the Lord, that He kept track of His people. Keeping track of His people, and this is a history of those people who existed upon this continent, and the teachings of Jesus Christ that do agree with the Bible hand in hand, as it says in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And there's a very precious passage that I wanted to read here this morning that gives in very essence, and this is on page 160. And actually, I would like to take, and let's go back one, and because of the time frame in which we live. Okay? And I'd like to read on page 159. Page 159. And here we talk about many prophecies here, and where Isaiah is quoted. And Isaiah is quoted because Isaiah has intricately much to do with this, the scattering and the confounding and the judgments, and then the restoring of the house of Israel. You've always heard about the Israelites being restored to the house, to the lands of their inheritance. And of course, you and I being heirs of adoption, we'll be in that mix as well. But yet we find, and let's see here now. Verse 88. Let's take a look at verse 88. With righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor and reprove with equity. Or fairness. He's going to reprove with fairness. The Lord's fair. The Lord's not slanted because, you know, I may wear certain style shoes, or I may eat certain kind of food or things like that. You know, He's not going to be slanted toward me. And He may hold me to a little more accountability because of what I should be about, being a minister in Christ. I should know better. And I should be about my Father's business. But He's going to be fair. No matter what. I think He's going to be fair. But for the meek of the earth, and He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth. Okay? And with the breath of His lips shall he slay the wicked. Now we're talking about the tares a little earlier. Okay, He's going to take vengeance out upon the ungodly when there's going to be a tribulation coming. And there's going to be the tares that are severed from the wheat being the children of the kingdom of the Lord, the children of Christ. Okay. And for the time speedily cometh, the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will destroy. He will spare His people, yea, if it so be that He must destroy the wicked by fire. Okay? He's going to call. There is going to be a division. But as it says in the Psalms 37, they're going to grow together till the end. Okay? Don't think that they're going to be, because we see people that are going to seem to get away with whatever they get away with. That will always be and always has been. But His children, His saints, will always shine in His sight and in His blessings. And they may have their so-called worldly enjoyment, and they may have their so-called worldly blessing in that right, according to mankind, but not of the Lord. But His saints are rich in blessings. And that's the power of the Lord. And if you're against the Lord, is He going to bless you? He says His face is against them that do iniquity. But He'll bless His children. He blesses them. And we could sit here for days on end if we were given the spirit of being able to recall. Okay? Because we see and take in many things. And the brain is a wonderful and the most advanced and powerful computer there ever was, because it was designed of the Lord by a creator, okay? The spirit of recalling. They say our memory is bad. No, it's just the recalling is what the deal is. And we could sit here for days on end recalling the power of the Lord in our lives. Are the testimonies of you and I. All of you. Just recalling of those things, you see. And so who here, and I've used this before, could ever pull out enough money out of his pocket to buy what we may call the smallest of blessings? Could you ever even think about it or hope to ever match it or to replicate it? You can't do it as wisely as the Lord does it, and when He may do it and why. Could never be done. Do you see where you may stand? The power of the Lord is beyond our knowing. And His love is unmatchless. I mean, it is matchless. That's double negative, I believe. Because of Jesus Christ. And that's how He reaches down to us, you know, the Father reaching down to us and reaching into your heart and into your lives in the name of Jesus Christ. But we find a time that is coming, and we need to get moving because I have this passage that we want to read in the next chapter. It says, "And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, the young lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them." And you may say to yourselves, what does that mean? That sounds silly. I don't know what that means. What does that? How does that speak? What's a couple of suggestions here that you may have for me? What does that mean to you?
Peace on earth.
Peace on earth. Millennial reign.
Animal kingdom and human.
Yeah. Where we find that there's this condition of peace, not of war anymore. The pestilence, the sickness. There will be those here with what that's called a resurrected body. Blessed and holy that have part in the first resurrection, on such the second hath no power. But it shall be priests of God and of Christ, and he shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Can anybody tell me something else about it before we go on any further in this little part here? What else won't be there?
Satan's going to be bound.
Exactly. He's going to be bound. Okay. And so we find that if he's going to be bound during that time, and the time is short. It's time, and we look at those signs, the times, very, very simply, but they're very powerful ones that we read about in our Sunday school this morning. And we see them at our doorsteps today in this what's called the 11th hour. So we know the time is short, correct? If you say the time is short, and that man's going to be bound. Okay, if you know you're headed for a jail cell, what are you going to do about it? If you're angry, you're going to do what? You're going to be raging like a crazy man, aren't you? And the Scripture says that He's going to rage in the hearts of the children of men. We see things that transpire. The love of many will wax cold. We read that in our Sunday school in the book of Matthew. The love of many will wax cold. And we know that's not of God, is it? Hate and anger, covetousness, you know, the fornications, all these many things, they're not of God. They do not bring you to the Lord. And we're coming to that time, and we want the Lord to save us. We want to push away those things, don't we? That we may be there in that time of peace. But I'm telling you what, and this is shortcoming, whether it be Brother Vern or myself that are moved, there are going to be times that we're going to be acquainting you more. It's probably been put upon our hearts, and as those have been suggesting, we're going to need to acquaint you more about there is the other side of the coin. About hell, about damnation, about the awful, fearful looking for the fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon us. I should say about them, because I'm not looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the kingdom of God, and that is the brightness of hope that I have in my life. And I hope that you do too, or if you don't, that I highly recommend that you do. You do look into that hope. You do look into the grace through Jesus Christ. You do look at applying the atoning blood of Christ in your life. And he says that the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now we know the lion doesn't normally eat straw like the ox. The lion looks out for prey. The lion looks for blood. He looks to go to lie in wait. And to pick off the sickly ones and all that. Because it is a carnivore. And it's ferocious. But it's going to eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. These are perilous things that won't be there. That would normally be dangerous, perilous. They shall not nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Why? Why will the earth be full of the knowledge of the Lord?
He's going to be amongst us.
He's amongst us. His children, all of His children are going to be there. Those that have passed the first resurrection, those that have such the second hath no power, they will know of Jesus Christ. Shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Or for the things of all nations shall be made known. Yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There's nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness, save it shall be made manifest in the light. There's nothing which is sealed upon the earth, save it shall be loosed. Or for all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. And now, my beloved brethren, I must, he says, make an end of my sayings. Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. There's great fear today, isn't there? There's great fear. There's great anger amongst people. There is wars. There is pestilences. As someone mentioned this morning, down certain countries, well, it's all over the world really, where they have a drug trade. And there are secret combinations in order to go wherever they might want to go. There are organizations today that secretly plot to destroy in the name of their religion. Because they hate. And this one that is raging, we know it's not of the Lord. In order to plot, destroy, to hate, they may inherit their piece of glory afterwards. They've been deceived. And see what happens is when they practice to deceive, and in the influence of deceit, that the one that is the deceiver and the liar, being old Satan, that's going to be chained, he will abandon them. At the very last, then, of course, they're going to pay for that. So he'll do what he can to lie. He'll do whatever he can to cheat your soul. Because, you know, he knows of the preciousness of heaven. You know that? Satan knows of the preciousness of heaven, doesn't he? He knows what it's like to be saved. He knows what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. He knows what it's like to hear the choirs of angels singing. He knows all of those things. And he knows the Scriptures better than you do. But because he can't be there, he was ultimately thrown out at the foot of the cross when Jesus paid that price and broke the bands of death. He ultimately paid that, you know, and Satan is going to pay, and he led a third of the host in revolt and took them away. And they are angels to a devil, influencing and causing anger, and he gives them charge in order to anger the souls of the children and the minds, the lives of the souls of the children men against the Lord, to lead them against the Lord. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, he may try to influence you, but you can render him powerless in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell him to get you behind him behind you. And the more you mature in your calling as a Christian and the Spirit of the Lord working upon you, less power you've given him. And he can influence you. And mature knowledge in Jesus Christ and in his gospel is our tools, and they are weapons against him. That's why Ephesians 6 talks about gospel armor. Because we need to be prepared. And the Lord wants you to be fit and prepared for each day. That's why Jesus taught us sufficient unto each day. Each day is the evil thereof. If you let each day breeze by and don't worry about it, and take no thought for it to your spiritual welfare, okay? And that's just like where, so you know, just a kind of a saying, says the idle hands, the devil's workshop. It can be, can't it? but it's going to take some effort on your part. It takes effort upon your part to maintain your spiritual well-being in Christ. And you know something? This passage in which I'm going about to read, he don't want read. The devil does not want this read because of its power and its impact in your life. But we're going to read it. Because the Lord God set it into print, just as He did in the Bible. We have many precious passages. We have a version here, very powerful and very precious, and we're going to read it. I'd like you to read on with me in chapter 13. And here is talking, in this passage here, talking forward. They're looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, who was given to them by inspiration and of the Spirit for our profit and our learning. And I'd like to start in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "My soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the word Lord God work among the children of men." You're about to learn a mystery, because the plainness of the Lord is difficult and hard to understand because of those that will not look, will not take in to be moved by the will of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It's hard for them. It is a mystery. But you're about to learn a mystery of the Lord. And those of us that have engaged in this very covenant here know of that mystery and enjoy it and have great joy over it because we know of it. But the Lord wants you to be moved by it. "For the Lord God give light unto understanding, for He speaketh unto men according to their language, according to their understanding. Wherefore, I would that you should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet, which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world." And we read in that very passage, and whom was it that baptized Jesus? John the Baptist, absolutely. And I just wanted that mentioned. And it should take away the sin of the world. He was an example. And let's read on about that. "Now if the Lamb of God, He being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water?" Now we take a look in the book of 2 Peter. It says baptism is not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. And so I ask you now, did Jesus already have a good conscience? Peter said when he was preaching to those, and they asked what we should do, and he said what? When they were, he said, pricked in their heart, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, what, for the remission of sins." Is that not true? And so we find that he was an example. Remember, he told John, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He was an example. "And I would ask of you, my beloved brethren," Do you hear that very flowery introduction there? Was he sarcastic? Was he speaking with an angry tone? Was he being... No, he said, "My beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness, and being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh, he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father," as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ here, that he's referring to. And he's witnessing. And as it talks about in the Scriptures, where he took upon him the form of a servant. And being in that, found in the fashion of a man, that he was obedient into the death of the cross. Is that not true? That's where his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And that's where that grace comes in, through that very sacrifice. "And he witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. And he came representing him in all things." And I know most of us here know, maybe some of us don't. Do we realize who is responsible for the creation of the world? All things were created for him and by him, and by him do all things consist. Jesus Christ being used for creation. And that is the earth, that is the stars, that's all that we know about. And here we find that he was setting an example. And Scripture says he thought it not equal to robbery to be equal with God. He took upon him the form of flesh. And that's where it says that God Himself shall come and make intercession for the children of men. Okay? God the Son. And wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. We've read that, and that did happen, didn't it? In the form of a dove. And what was that? Where do you find that was a sign of what? What can we call that dove? That was in the form of a dove, that Holy Spirit. But also, that dove has been reticent, or an example of
peace.
Where else do we find that dove being used? Absolutely. That the Lord God said He would no more send also a flood upon the earth in the form of water. But there's an ark of Jesus Christ that we need to be aboard upon. Because the anger of the Lord was kindled about the children of men. And there was only 8 souls saved by water that time. Because of a judgment upon sin. And sin came on because of how did sin start? Satan, yes.
Transgressing of
the law of God. They're very simple, wasn't it? Don't eat the fruit of the tree of life. No matter how many commandments, all they had to break was the one the Lord gave them. Very simple one. Don't do it. Sin came into the world. Death, dying, pestilence, disease, all those things, those are on account of our forefather, our foreparents, Adam and Eve. These things were set in motion, and the course of events was now in its motion. There will not be peace upon the earth from that time until now. Until what happens? When will there be peace upon the earth? We just read about it. When Christ returns. That's right. Okay? And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter. He having set the what? Example before them. He set an example by entering in the waters of baptism. Okay? Jesus taught us, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Is that not true? Are there a lot of people today that aren't even paying attention? It said that it was, we read this morning, many were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until in that time when Noah was upon the earth and they were saved by the water till they were all carried away. They were eating and drinking, married, given in marriage, not paying attention. Are people doing that today? Are people complacent? Are people entertained and looking for entertainment and not content with themselves? Is there the spirit of contentedness today, or is there the spirit of uneasiness and fear and covetousness and wanting things? Wanting more than what they have instead of being content. And at peace and assured. We don't find that. We were seeing just what the Lord said is going to happen before the time that He shall come again. When He shall ride forth as king. We ride forth as king. We find those horses within Revelation. One of Vern's good sermons. I like to bring these things to remembrance every now and then. When he, of our brothers. Sermons on that, because I remember these things, different things people say. And we're supposed to. Of each things you say, too. But we find those horses that are going to ride. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be upon one of them. And ride forth as king. And he said to the children of men, though, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, say we should be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, here is that wonderful inviting greeting to you. My beloved brethren, I know that ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart. Full purpose of heart. Remember, this is the most important thing that you can accomplish. It's the most important thing that those of us that know about this should appreciate. Full purpose of heart, and also teach. All of us to witness of and to teach. We need full purpose of heart. Because, you know, and this has to do with repentance. Repentance of turning from the ways of the world, turning from the ways of man, turning to God, turning to His ways, and turning through His Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ, with all of our life. And we can't look to be dragging things of the world. We cannot incorporate the things from the world into the gospel of Christ and the spirit of man and what man has to offer. Can't do it. You're about to make and step upon holy ground. And it says that Moses approached the burning bush. And the Lord told him what? Take off the shoes from off thy feet, for where thou standest is holy ground. The other night, on our Wednesday night, there was a subject that was talked about. It was talked about fasting and prayer. We were stepping upon holy ground. This is something the Lord also talked to us about. So you should also already be engaged in prayer and fasting at this point. Come in contact with our holy God. You're upon holy ground. Full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. And no deception before God. Can we deceive the Lord? Does He already know your heart? Does He already know your life? You betcha He does. He knows that. But with real intent. Repenting of your sins. We just discussed what that is. And it talks about a godly sorrow which worketh repentance. And that's the spirit of repentance. Because the spirit that you are engaged in, the spirit of repentance, to give out your all unto the Lord. But you're witnessing unto the Father that you're willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, following your Lord and your Savior down into the water, according to His Word. There's a hymn, one of my favorites. With the Word of God, it shall never pass away. Behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And some have had differences of an experience. And when receiving the Holy Ghost, we believe in the letter of the Word that we should have laying out of hand, like it says in the book of Hebrews 6th chapter. Faith, repentance, baptism, laying out of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. You've entered in by the way. There's the difference in testimonies of when they may have received that. Some say they have received it with great power and authority. Some say they may have received it very quietly. But nonetheless, whether you have that grand testimony or not, does not mean the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, and that He did give that Holy Spirit. And it says to take care of and grieve not that Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve it, because it is sealed to you till the day of judgment. It shall tell of your life. It shall bear witness. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then you can speak with the tongue of angels or shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. That driving mechanism of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, that is like the wind, motivating you in joy, in the spirit of joy. Not in the spirit of anger, not in the spirit of sarcasticness. We know that is not of the Lord. That which caused you to feel love one toward another is of God. in the name of Jesus Christ. Call one another brother or sister and feel it and mean it. That you could love others, those that you do not know, but that you would love them no matter what, like the love of God. We may not like the things that they may do, because God, you know, He's not pleased with some of the things we may do, but if we ask forgiveness, He will forgive us. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins, and witnessed unto the Father, that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, way better for you that you had not known me. That's because you received the Holy Spirit, which is the witness of the Father and the Son. Walking contrary to Him. And they had to be careful. They had to be careful of that and to guard that. And that we do not pass from this life with that denial or that walking against Him contrary to the end of this life upon our hearts, you see. Because remember the prodigal son that had known of the Father's love went his way and did come to Him. And he received Him. Well, you got to be careful that within the breath of this body, we got to be careful of that. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, the words of my beloved are true and faithful, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, you heard the expression, keep on keeping on, things like that. That's true. Live by faith unto endurance. With the energy given us and gifted us through our obedience to His gospel, the will of the Lord, that is that motivation and that driving force of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need that. We're here together to comfort one another, it says. Edify one another. To lift one another up. That's what we need to be about. We are enduring. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. And it says that when he comes, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. The example of the Son of God, you cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause they have been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. The gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all that done, I would say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Unshaken. We must be careful that we need to revel in the Spirit of the Lord and be moved and be strengthened and be nurtured, be fed and be taught of the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to be careful and mature in our calling to that royal priesthood, that royal generation, that we may not be shaken. We cannot be shaken from it. Who out there is trying to shake you today? We talked about him a little earlier. That spiritual terrorist. Hit and run. Okay? We have to be careful of that. And we need to mature. He's real. Don't ever tell you he's not real. You've seen his work in you, and you walk by it every day. You've seen his work. And if someone is trying to talk you out of your salvation, trying to talk to you of, oh, you know, it's nonsense to believe in that Jesus Christ. What in the world are you thinking? All the joy and everything else is here and now, and you can have pleasure here and now, and whatever you may see, think, touch, taste. Where is that going to take you? You ought to know better. Where is that going to take you? Think ahead a little bit, God. Give us a good brain. Think ahead. Where is that going to take you? First of all, away from God, isn't it? So be aware. And I'm putting you on your guard now. Could be a spirit of Satan that's working through, and it can be through a friend. We've got to be careful. Unshaken faith, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and of all men. If you shall press forward, feasting upon the Word of Christ. That's why we talk about that the studying of our Scriptures is very important. Take a look and be moved and stirred and taught by them. Be strengthened, be armed, be informed by them. Feasting upon the Word of Christ. Your spiritual feast. And it is just as real. When you come in contact with the Almighty God and His Son Jesus Christ, and you're touched by His Spirit, then you realize, you begin to understand that your soul is hungry. And you feel, you know when you walk apart from Him. You taste of it. But then you realize when your soul is hungry and it needs to have water, come to the waters of life freely. It needs to be fed by that living bread. He says He is the living manna from heaven, Jesus Christ. And He says, endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. You shall have a brightness of hope. Remember? If we have boldness in the day of judgment, you shall have eternal life. But He wants you, it's not a pride, but it is a godly hope and a godly fear that we live in enduring. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Once again, the world may want to teach that there's different paths, different gods, and there always has been throughout time, because man wants something that he can touch, and they've always built idols. Okay, man has built idols for in order to be able to touch and to be able to bow down to and worship. What did the children of Israel do when they come out of Egypt and they were at the base of the mountain? They'd already tasted of the goodness and power of the Lord. They'd also seen the Red Sea parted and the chariots destroyed. They'd seen the pillar of fire that stood between them and the Egyptians. What did they do at the base of the mount? Made an idol. Did anybody know what happened to that idol?
They drank it.
They drank golden water. Not very good. And now this is the doctrine of Christ, He says. You know, we cannot be saved in the kingdom of God but by the name of Jesus Christ. None other way given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ in obedience to His will and His gospel. Now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Here we find a fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. And this is His benchmark. This is His way. This is His light. This is His knowledge. This is His salvation. And we are to be informed about it. We are to be joyful over it. We are to be moved by it. We are to be stirred by it unto a zeal, unto great faith. To be unshaken by it. Because of foundational teaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ unto our salvation. So I thank you for your prayers, your love, and your support and all your prayers. In Jesus' name.